Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
we have a huge range, almost a full range of people, of men come to us at James's Place. And I think they all, you know, are treated in the same way. And, you know, they're treated as people who are valued and people who, you know, deserve our help and respect. And that's what we do.
Well, the fact that it is working, I think, is brilliant news. But it must also set those men on a really positive sort of step long term, that they almost get a skill set to be able to assess their feelings, their emotions, that they can take way beyond, you know, their interactions with James's Place.
So during the first lockdown, during the first pandemic, we realised that we either had to kind of, I suppose, slow down or kind of carry on and get on with it. And that's what we decided to do.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday. It's podcast time once again. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. I hope you're well. Been a really busy week for me this week. Really, really chock-a-block. I'm saying this at the start of the week. There's so much stuff going on in the build-up to now and the new year. And of course, you've always got one eye on what's coming up in 2022 as well. So hopefully some really important conversations to be had on what is essentially the UK's home of mental health conversation, Mental Health Monday. And as ever, thanks for supporting what we're doing, what we're trying to do. A great deal of things going on the Mental Health Monday Facebook group. Pleased to say I was at the launch of, or the relaunch of, Dramatic Recovery, who we spoke to on the podcast relatively recently. They had a night in Liverpool, which I was delighted to say I was able to attend. Put a little video up on the old Facebook group for that as well. You can also get involved on social media. Use the hashtag Mental Health Monday. Always great to hear that people are checking out the show. But also you can get involved on various things like email, the socials, or basically just tell people in real life to listen to Mental Health Monday, where we have these conversations. And a really important conversation today with an organisation we've spoken to a couple of times. They've just done their second year evaluation, which basically assesses the value of what they bring to their particular community. And I'm talking about James's Place, based in Liverpool. They've now got a new centre in London, albeit temporary. They'll have a new permanent service in a slightly different location in the new year, as we shall hear. But when it comes to talking about tackling men in a suicidal crisis, what can be done and how can we bring them back from the brink, if you like? Well, they've got a model which, according to the evidence, which works. And there's evidence that it works. And they have found a way to speak to men who are experiencing suicidal crisis in really difficult states and to find alternatives for them, to help them find hope and to put them on a path which is much more positive, which gives them an opportunity in a relatively short time frame as well. I think it's absolutely incredible what they do, what they've done, and what they plan to do in the future, because they've got big expansion plans as well, which we'll talk about with the CEO, Ellen O'Donoghue. Now, Ellen's a brilliant advocate for mental health and talking about mental health, so it's great to spend some time with her. And she and the entire team at James's Place should be really proud of what they've achieved in the last couple of years. And the evidence shows what it is that they're doing is working.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when the first James's Place opened in Liverpool, it really was, it was an idea. It was new. And I think that whilst it was built on a really kind of solid bank of academic evidence, it was really putting that into practice in a really new and exciting way. And I think it was really important right from the start that it be evaluated in a really rigorous way, so that we could really see that what we were doing was, you know, was effective and was working, because we're working with men who are at that point very, very vulnerable. And it's, you know, it's essential for them and for all of us that we make sure that what we're giving them is the best possible help that they can get at that point. So I think by being able to evaluate it in this way, what we're really showing is, yes, this is working, and here's what we can learn, how we can deliver the service better, how we can expand it and make sure that more men who need our help can get it.
And the good news is that from what we can see, the service works. The service saves lives and changes lives. In the top line of the evaluation, James's Place is making a life-changing difference to individuals, their families, and their communities. I mean, you must feel 10 feet tall when you read that, you know, almost first and foremost, you know, right at the top, front and center of the evaluation report. We'll come on to talk about how it works, but what a difference it can make. And it's based around this new idea, the innovation as well, the James's Place model. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because I think a lot of people will hear this and go, right, they're obviously doing something correctly. They're making a difference. What is it specifically that they're doing? And you've got a specific model that works around.
Yeah, absolutely. So the model was developed by our founder, Claire Milford Haven, and our clinical lead, Jane Boland, who's still the head of James's Place in Liverpool. And it really has, I suppose, five key components. First is the intervention itself, that men will have a series of one-to-one, face-to-face therapy sessions with our trained professional therapists. And in those sessions, we use a set of cards called Lay Your Cards on the Table. And what those cards really do is help a man to express how he's feeling, what he's thinking, and the things he might be doing. And for some of the men who come to us, it will be the first time they've been able to talk about those things. These can be really difficult things to get out there, and the cards really help them to do that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the therapist themselves. So we only work with trained professional therapists. We employ people who are experienced counsellors and mental health professionals, and they're then trained in the intervention. So every man who comes to us gets the same service. The next thing is time. We make sure that men can see us really quickly. So we'll guarantee to see a man within 48 hours of him being referred to us. We're only open in, I suppose, office hours, 9 to 5, but if we get a referral on a Monday morning, he'll often be in with us by the Tuesday and certainly the Wednesday, so that when somebody is feeling suicidal, we can move quickly to help them. Next is our referral partners, and that's been a brilliant part of our work in Liverpool, working across kind of other services in NHS services, but also community services, other charities. People like Sean's Place, for example, will make, you know, referrals to us as well. And that just means that we're really making sure that at every possible point that a man might seek help, he can find his way to James's Place. And I think all of those things are really kind of critical to making sure that what we're offering is a really robust service. And the final part of that is the environment. I don't know if you've been into James's Place in Liverpool, but it's a really beautiful, peaceful place. And from the second that a man comes to us, he's somewhere that he knows he's going to be looked after, and he's going to be treated with the kind of respect and the kindness that anybody deserves, but that certainly somebody in crisis particularly needs, I think.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have the first ever tour of James's Place, and I can best describe it as walking into a magazine. You know, it's like the nicest house that anyone's ever. It's stylish, but not to the point where you feel like you can't sit down. It's stylish to the point where you think, oh, actually, yes, stick the fire on and let's watch a movie, you know,
it is
on the sofa.
We all feel that.
Absolutely, absolutely. That model, the cards on the table idea as well, obviously as a double meaning, a literal meaning as well, in that you place cards on the table. It's a very simple thing to do, but to actually go, right, okay, where's my head at on these various issues? How do I feel about these various things? How do I prioritize these sort of worries or concerns that I have in my life? And I think just in doing that, I think if we all were trained to do that on a regular basis ourselves, I think it would make a huge difference. But of course, you guys are doing it when the stakes are really high. And the evaluation points to this as well, that the men who come to you, they're not just having a bit of a bad time of it. They're often in suicidal crisis. They've got suicidal ideation. You've got to get that right. That's got to be working at that particular point as well. And the fact that it is working, I think is brilliant news, but it must also set those men on a really positive sort of step long term, if you like, that they almost get a skill set to be able to assess their feelings, their emotions, that they can take way beyond, you know, their interactions with James's Place.
Yes, I hope so. I think in the evaluation document, there's a really lovely piece of work, which is a kind of theory of change model, which looks at what we think we're helping men to do. And one of the things that we, you know, suspect is that after an intervention at James's Place, men will have other kinds of, I suppose, things that they've learned beyond the suicidal crisis itself. So just, I think, recognising that seeking help works and that people can get help for problems is really, really critical. And I think one of the things that we would always want, you know, a man doesn't really need to understand why he's in crisis. He certainly doesn't need to identify it himself. But I think it's about seeking help when you're feeling bad, when you're thinking things, doing things that aren't making you feel good. That's the time to reach out and the help is out there, whether it's from James's Place, whether it's from one of our partners, or whether it's from other kinds of charities, you know, people like the Samaritans, the Shout Crisis text line. There's lots of help there. And I think one of the things that we were really keen to, you know, really emphasize during the kind of pandemic period was that, you know, whilst lots of things had changed, the help was still there, and that if people did seek it and if they did reach out, they would find it. So that's been a really critical thing for us as well.
Yeah, and I'll make that point as well, because it's quite clear that despite the pandemic and all that, you know, the going to remote models as well, that the maintenance of the service, if you like, is a credit to both technology and, of course, the people who are operating it as well, that you were able to operate and continue to operate. Can I talk about the men who do come through the door? You've got sort of almost like a breakdown, if you like, of the sorts of men. Yeah. And it might not necessarily be the sorts of men that people would necessarily expect to interact with, you know, a particular service as well. But I think, again, it's testament to the reputation of James's Place, particularly around things like self-referrals, that you've got a lot of working class blokes of a certain age who would probably have grown up in a world of bottling up their problems, probably grown up in a world being told that you do, you know, man up and so on and so forth. Yet you've been able to find the connection with hundreds of those men in the short time that James's Place has been operating.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to recognise that, you know, we have a huge range, almost a full range of people, of men come to us at James's Place. And I think they all, you know, are treated in the same way. And, you know, they're treated as people who are valued and people who, you know, deserve our help and respect. And that's what we do. I think it's really testament to the team, to the therapists who work at James's Place, who, you know, use their professionalism, but also their, I suppose, their empathy and their kindness to make sure that all men who come to us will feel welcome and will feel like they're in the right place. But I think it's also testament to the work that people like you do, Mick, that across Liverpool, people are recognising and knowing what James's Place does. And that means that men might not need to find us through a kind of, I suppose, a traditional health service route. They might be told about us, they might see us, you know, on a poster or a mat. And I think that that's where some of the most valuable work can be done, to really make sure that people know us, you know, and know us and know the help that's available right across the city in a really kind of basic way.
I think that's one of the things that always strikes me. And I sometimes get this feedback in a very much a different way to the way that you get feedback about James's Place. But when people say, I wish I'd have known about this sooner.
Yeah.
And you think, and I always get a sense of both sort of pride, as in, oh, well, at least you found something that's positive. But then also a sense of frustration of what more could have been done, or how could we have got to people who needed to hear, in my case, hear these conversations sooner as well. And I think that normalization of conversation around mental health is something which I think is improving, but I don't think we're anywhere near where we need to be as a society, that you would go, my tooth sore, dentist, throat sore, doctor, my mental health is suffering, a James's Place or a Shout Network or a Samaritan's Call or a conversation with your GP. I feel like we're not quite in that place, but I think when people see that something like James's Place is working for them, they then head out into the community. They understand what it is and almost go, oh, you want to go and speak to these lot, or I spoke to these and this was good for me. That normalizes it a little bit more, and it becomes, you know, a recommendation, a word of mouth thing. And we, you know, we might be a few years away from that, but I get a sense we're heading in that direction.
I think so. I think that suicide and suicidal feelings are still quite stigmatised, and I think it can be really hard for people to talk about them. But people are talking about them, and that's amazing and really important. And there's some videos on our website which people could have a look at, with, you know, amazingly brave people talking about their experiences, their feelings, their family's experience and friends. And I think that's really important. And across, you know, across the city, people have done amazing things for us. There's a young boy called Lennon who's running 5 kilometres every night for us at the moment. And that every single step he's taking is saying something about normalising these conversations and making it easier for people to seek help. And it all contributes, and it's all incredibly important, I think.
You sometimes get people, don't you, who'll say like, oh, my elbow's playing up on my knee's not right. And they'll go, oh, I've got a great number for a physio. Oh, you want to try my physio? He sorted me out back in whatever it was when I had an old squash injury or whatever. And people do that in normal conversation. And in my mind, that's not such a large leap that someone would say, oh, I've got a great psychologist that I spoke to, or there's a great helpline that I found really useful. I feel like we can get to that without really changing too much. We just have to sort of move the conversation on just a little bit. Can I talk about something which sounds quite technical, so I won't get too much into it, but can I talk about core OM scores, or is that the right phrase?
Scores, yeah. So we use a model called the core outcome model, and what that really does in the simplest terms is measure somebody's distress on a numerical scale. So when a man comes to us, he will be asked a series of questions by his therapist, and that will help to identify as with what he's been experiencing and his level of distress. And the men who come to us typically have very high scores. So they will be scoring it, you know, at a point that indicates severe distress. And so what we'll be trying to do with them over the kind of 6 weeks or so that they're seeing a therapist at James's Place is to try and bring that score down. And I suppose if there's one key, as the clinical finding in the report, it's that that's exactly what is happening. So in our first year of operation, we were seeing men drop by about 45 points on the scale. That was going from severe distress to mild symptoms, exactly where we want to see people going. And in year two, it's even better, which was really, we were really, really pleased to see that. So men are dropping an average of 50 points, so from severe distress to mild symptoms again. And that's showing us two things. One is that the right men are coming to us, that you know, I think everybody who comes through the door is welcome, and we want to help them. But we're really seeing that people who need us most are getting to us. And then what we're seeing is that during their time at James's Place, they're getting better. They are improving, and they're feeling better. And that when they are doing the kind of core outcome score at the end of their session, we're seeing a really marked difference, which then carries on after their time with us. So what that's showing us is, I suppose, is giving us a kind of a number, is giving us data to back up what our therapists are seeing, which is that men are leaving James's Place feeling significantly better.
And I think I'm right in saying, is it 135? Is that 135 would be the top score, which would be 135, 145, I think, which would be really, really bad, or zero, which I guess would be no symptoms, or really, really good. Average scores, I've made a note here, 86.56 on essentially stepping in the door, 86. Yeah. And actually leaving the service after the sessions, 35.45, which is, well, that's more than half a drop in the figure as well. And that's assessing various different things, as you just pointed out. But again, that's more evidence, isn't it? That's working. And that's meant being asked at both ends, if you like, how are you feeling? And actually them telling you themselves that they're feeling better, as opposed to you ticking a box and going, we're seeing him, he's had his sessions and he's done, he's fine now.
Absolutely. And the other useful thing for us about the core outcome model is that it's used by other services as well. So it's not just us kind of, I suppose, measuring our own work. It's saying that, you know, on a recognised scale, these men are getting better in their time with us. And I think that's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In terms of sort of preemptive work that can be done just using the data that you've gathered, I just noted a couple of things that in more than half of the cases, one of the sort of key factors that somebody came to see you at James's Place was either relationship breakdowns or family problems. And of course, we know sort of how sort of life-changing those issues can be. I think it was just over 50% were one or the other. And there's various other factors that might involve in that, but more than half relationship breakdowns or family problems. And I wonder, well, whether as well that's something that as a society that we don't quite deal with, or we don't quite have the right tools yet in conversation, that when somebody is going through a difficult time, be it within a family, be it within a relationship, we're not quite there in terms of how can we talk about that? How can we talk about it to share our own experiences, but also maybe how can we talk to a friend about what they're experiencing? And it struck me as something that if we could get, you know, further down the line, and it's not to say, you know, that every divorce court should come with a mental health advisor, but if there was just something along that journey that said, oh, by the way, there's a chance that your mental health will struggle during this time, and here are some possibilities, that might be something that we could look at in a much wider sense, not something that Changes Place could do, you know, across the country. But you see the point I'm trying to make.
I do. I think it's a really important point as well. And I think one of the things that is a really basic and simple point to make is that, you know, we shouldn't be ashamed of feeling bad, that when things happen that we find hurtful and difficult, they can have a massive impact. And it's really important that, you know, we reach out and are there for people when that's happening. Having said that, I think it's also important to recognise that for some people, the problems become overwhelming, and those people really will benefit from some extra structured support, like the kind of thing that they can get at James's Place. So I think it's all about having those conversations and not being afraid to ask someone. If we see someone we love or care about struggling, ask them the question, are they feeling suicidal? Do they need help? And I think that that's a really important thing for us all to be able to do, is not to be afraid of those questions. You know, I think I mentioned earlier that our work is based on quite a bit of academic evidence, and really kind of almost like simplifying some of that would be to say that we look at what kind of has happened to a man in the past, where he's come from, who he is, what's happening to him at the moment. And that can often be those triggers, like a relationship breakdown or losing a job or financial pressures. And then also his kind of, I suppose, proximity to being able to hurt himself. And I think those three things together give us a really clear indication of a man who might need help from somewhere like James's Place.
Absolutely, absolutely. In terms of where you turn to next, you're not standing still or just patting yourselves on the back. You're sort of expanding, and I mean you're expanding as well. You've already got a temporary centre in London, which will become a new permanent centre in London in the new year. And I think Claire Milford Haven said as part of the presentation, 3 centres over the next 3 years. I don't know if I'm putting words into her mouth there, but it was ambitious in terms of, right, we've got this model and it works and we think we can do it elsewhere. What can you tell us about that expansion?
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly what we're planning to do. So during the first lockdown, during the first pandemic, we realised that we either had to kind of, I suppose, slow down or kind of carry on and get on with it. And that's what we decided to do. So we opened a temporary virtual service in London, which became a face-to-face service and will be housed in a kind of permanent home from the spring, which is really exciting. But you know, I think you asked at the beginning about you're feeling 10 feet tall when we saw these results, and we do. We're pleased and proud. But what I think it also does is give us a real sense of urgency. We know this works, so let's make sure it's available to as many people as possible who need it. So as you say, over the next 3 years, we'll be opening 3 more centres. At that point, we'll really be getting close to kind of national coverage. So rather than being a service for men in a specific area, what we're saying is that for men who are in suicidal crisis, James's Place can offer them support. And I think by the time we do reach 5 centres, that will be a genuine kind of source of help for people who really need it. So we are pleased and proud of what we've been able to achieve, though I do think that is testament to the team, and not just the therapists. Actually, we have an amazing administrative team who really keep the show on the road, all kind of led by Jane. So I think there's a lot of hard work that makes this happen. But having said that, I think there's a real sense of purpose that we want to get on with this and make this happen on as big a scale as possible now.
Excellent stuff. You don't have to tell us, but have you identified areas where you think, well, it would be suitable there? I don't know if they're just the major cities or there are particular places where you think, well, that might be a suitable place, or we've foreseen that there may be an issue here.
I think what we're trying to do really is get as wide a spread as possible. So obviously London and Liverpool are kind of nicely spaced apart, and it's about citing the other centres where we can, I suppose, really sounds a bit trite, but where we can do most good, where we can reach as many men as possible whilst also, you know, serving a kind of local need. So I think we will know where they're going to be, or be able to announce where they're going to be in the new year, but that certainly we'll be looking to spread them right across the country.
Excellent. Eleanor, congratulations on everything that's been achieved so far through James's Place. It's been great. And I've said this a few times with guests that we've had on the podcast, where they've gone from maybe coming on the program and talking about the idea that they've got or the idea that they hope will work, and then to see actually that it comes to fruition, it does work. And actually, in your case, it continues to work to the point that you're looking to expand it even further. I think it's a wonderful model. And again, that thing for people who think there's, you know, that this is a hopeless cause, or when they look at the suicide figures and they think there's nothing that can be done, there is something that can be done. There is a model that works. There's evidence for this as well. And I guess that you'll be at the moment keen to share this with as many people as possible, to say to various different organizations around the country, we've got a model that works. And if we can all work together, then we can definitely do something about these skyrocketing suicide figures.
Absolutely. I mean, we work best when we work in partnership, and that's been something that's been just enormously important in Liverpool. It happens on a national level as well, working with other charities to make sure that we're all sharing our learning and what we're finding out. And I think you made a point earlier about what we can learn from these findings. And I think it's, you know, we can learn about how to help men in suicidal crisis, but we can also begin to understand more about how these kind of crises occur and what can be done about them. And so absolutely, for me, you, one of the most exciting things about the work that we've done in this evaluation is what we can learn across the board, not just at James's Place, but what we can contribute to understanding about suicide prevention and how, as you say, we can address the rates that nobody wants to see. And I think there's lots that we've put on our website for people to have a look at if they're interested, but there are also other sources of help. So we really would encourage anyone to have a look at that if they want to find out more, but also if they want to seek help themselves.
Brilliant stuff. A quick Google search of James's Place brings it up, but I've also mentioned as well the website at the start of the podcast as well. I'll put links within the podcast right up too. Ellen O'Donoghue, thank you so much for your time, CEO, James's Place.
And thank you so much for your support, Nick. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.